This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
What's up, everybody? It's another episode of Hell's Kitchen. It is the season finale eve. We have a special guest, and we're going to see what happens. Let's get it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Your fingers going up. Yeah. Oh, we got the red lights.
Get the finger points, yeah.
Red lights.
Yes.
I still can't get it. I have to practice the finger thing.
I'm doing the clinic next weekend. So yeah.
You're in a clinic?
Yeah, I'm doing that. So sign up in preparation for the season finale next week.
I'll do that. Yes. I'm going to go for a finger swagging or rag. Well, I don't know. Finger wagging clinic?
Yeah.
Dope.
Oh, my God.
What's up, everybody? You know what it is. It's your boy, Lim Gonzalez, here for another episode of Hell's Kitchen. We're almost to the end. I can't believe it.
I know.
Season finale next week. But yeah, man, you can find me at The Poet Saint all day, every day, of course, holding it down as always. My main man.
Oh, goodness.
My ace bone cool.
I still don't know what that means.
Mr. Frank Moran, what's up, baby?
Not much, man. Everybody, you can follow me on Twitter at Happy Go Jackie. My voice is acting a little weird today.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm going through puberty.
Puberty? Okay,
that's
cool.
Right.
It happens.
Well,
it happens.
Finally. It's finally for me.
Finally. Late puberty. It's all got late bloomers, ladies and gentlemen. It happens. As promised, we do have a guest they're not in the building, but they're in with us in spirit, but they are on Skype, and we so appreciate her being with us. She is not only on Hell's Kitchen, but she is in the top two. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, is Heather Williams.
Yes.
What's up, Heather?
How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really good.
Really good. That's really good to hear. I'm really excited to have you. We had a popcorn snafu last episode. I don't know if you heard about that, but I ate my popcorn, you know, early before the show, so we're not gonna have that issue this time. Just saying.
All right.
Excited to have you on. For right now, I just want to know. Take me back to when you did this taping a year and a half ago or whatever. Okay. Your last two, what are your feelings right now at this point?
I literally could not sleep for probably like 48 hours. My nerves were shot.
Wow.
I think I maybe drank Gatorade and ate one hot dog the entire time.
Oh my gosh.
It was crazy. Ryan and I had no idea what to expect. We didn't know what was going to happen. And you know, she was trying to keep me kind of level-headed, trying to help me out, and I was just like, listen, just let me be by myself. But it was kind of creepy because you go from 18 people in one house down to her and I. We don't have to fight for the shower. We don't have to fight for, you know, the bathroom.
Right.
We have all the food, everything to ourselves, and we're just like, what do we do?
What's going on?
What I love is the final reveal where Chef Ramsay shows that it's just going to be you and Brian in the finale. What time did you tape that, and how long did that little thing take?
Oh, my goodness. I want to say, like, when it was still me, Ryan, and Heidi, we were standing there, and it seemed like forever. We were standing there, and the pictures are changing between all three of us, and right. We're just standing there, my heart is pounding out of my chest. I can't breathe. I think my palms were so sweaty. And my pitcher dropped, and it seemed, for me, it was almost like a half hour.
Wow.
But in reality, it was probably maybe a good solid 5 minutes.
Okay.
And that's longest long 5 minutes of my life.
That's a long time to just be waiting for your pitcher to come up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was the first one, and I'm kind of mad that they cut it out. I pretty much dropped to the ground because,
wow,
you know, you fight so hard for that moment, and you know, you've been through so much, you've been through all the challenges, you've been through everything you could possibly imagine, you're pushed to your limits, you know, you're at your wit's end, and my pitcher shows up, and I literally looked at Chef Ramsey and I said, is this real life? Because, you know, you kind of have that moment of, is it real? Is it not real? Is that really my pitcher? Maybe it's kind of like a mirage. And I just looked at him. I was like, can I have a hug? And I ran over and gave him, like, the world's biggest hug. Like, wow. I was hugging my dad.
Wow.
It was crazy.
I wish they would have aired that.
Yeah, because they showed Ryan
giving
I was going to
say, yeah. I was like, man, I guess she doesn't like where she's.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. I was really feeling some kind of way because I was like, oh, Ryan got this moment where she hugged Shepard. I was like, and Heather didn't. So I was like, okay, maybe she thought she was feeling, you know. But I'm glad.
Following my footsteps. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's okay, Ryan. You can take my moment.
You take that. No, but I can imagine when, like you said, you're fighting for something so long. 18 Chefs, it starts off with. This is like, you know, weeks and weeks of competitions and, you know, and a lot of going on, a lot of drama, you know, inside the kitchen, outside the kitchen. I mean, it's not Hell's. I mean, it's called Hell's Kitchen.
Yes.
I mean, it's not Heaven's Kitchen.
It's kind of like you're going through high school all over again because there's so much pettiness, and the guys were actually worse than the women.
Really?
And I'm like, wait a minute, we're you have 9 women all together in a house,
right?
Oh, dear God, we're gonna end up killing each other. But it was the guys that, you know, fought like little girls. They were all out to get each other. I'm like, oh dear God.
Well, not only fighting all the time, but then just treating their method of attack was to try to berate and belittle the female chefs, which was irritating.
Horrible. And the thing is, it's like the industry is very cutthroat, and it's a male dominant industry. Which, you know, when I went to culinary school, there was maybe I think 20 of us in a class, and I think it was just me and my friend Lori who had actually, you know, ended up graduating just from our class and our cycle. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, a lot of women, you need to have a very strong personality and you need to learn how to not take everything personal. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't really understand that concept, that people are cutthroat and they're out to get you.
So this is, would you say, you know, in your experience in this industry, would you say that Hell's Kitchen is not far off then? Because you're saying it's a cutthroat industry, so you kind of have to have thick skin even outside of this type of competition.
You do. I mean, Hell's Kitchen kind of, it touches a really good deal on that where you need to be, you kind of have to have the upper hand. You need to learn how to have the wit to kind of fire back at somebody who's, you know, making fun of you. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cursing, obviously. Right. You know, I'm a foul-mouthed, outspoken person. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day, you need to be true to yourself, and you know who you are. You can't let people demolish your character just over words. And, you know, there's things that I can do just as well as a man. I can carry a 50-pound bag of potatoes. I can, you know, cut down fish. I can break down a cow.
Go ahead, girl.
But, yeah. You know, and a lot of women, I feel bad for them because they want to try to be in this industry. And if you don't have that bitchy personality and you don't have a backbone, you're not going to make it far, because even women are very cutthroat, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's like it's a, what are they saying, dog eat dog world.
Yeah,
like it's very
and
much
it's
so
very
yeah, very much
very
that.
Dog.
Very much that, and then I'm sure Hell's Kitchen just magnifies that to the 10th degree.
They do, but the guys took it a little too far with, you know, the bullying, and I felt bad for Kimberly at one point, and I eventually started defending her. I was like, you know, enough is enough. I said, you know, what are we going to try to teach our kids? Because a lot of us were parents. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you teaching your kids when they see you on TV belittling somebody and, you know, calling them names and just being very foul towards another human being?
Right.
Heather, on this episode, at least for the majority of the part, it seemed like the way it was edited was kind of trying to set up the fact that you may be eliminated this episode.
Without a doubt.
In this whole challenge leading up to the revelation you're in the final two, but did you feel like an underdog going into this?
I didn't feel like an underdog, but when I kind of got ganged up on with Heidi and Ryan, I'm like, shit, they're best friends. They've been best friends since day one. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of screwed. You know, it's two versus one. I have no idea what I'm going to do. You know, I didn't do so well in the challenge dinner service. We all had our fair share of, you know, hiccups in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of like when I watched everything be edited, I'm like, God damn it. I'm like, you really made me look like this disgusting chef who double dips, like doesn't know what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about that.
Like, get the hell out of here.
Since you brought it up, just to go back to the
double dipper.
Right. To go back to the front of the episode, when it was, you know, still the three of you, Heather, Heidi, Ryan, you basically had to tackle, create dishes to use tableside, where you would prepare tableside, and you got to pick your own ingredients with that. Were you, when that was first brought upon you, I know that Ryan, she kind of had something to say about like, oh, this is not my strong suit. How did you feel about it going into that particular challenge?
Going into the challenge, I felt good. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's times when I can talk somebody's ear off.
Right.
But I'm not good public speaking, which, you know, I'm kind of coming out of my shell, okay. Even though, you know, I can't really see the audience on the other side.
Right.
It's nerve-wracking. But I kind of took it as, like, a learning curve to be able to cook and talk at the same time, which I can do in a kitchen, mm-hmm. but when you're doing it in front of groups of people, it's a little bit different.
Especially when they're esteemed chefs as well.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah. So it's not like, you know, you get a couple people off the street. It's people
it's not
who
like me and Frank
are dedicated.
There. Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah, we'll talk about anything. No, they're actually, like, studying you.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
When you mentioned the double dipping situation, so it obviously happened, but did it happen like it was edited to show?
Not at all.
Okay.
When I was actually talking to that chef, I had caught myself mentally and I was like, shit. Like, I literally just did that. And as I was starting to take everything away and I was starting to get everything new in the pan, he was like, oh, you just double dipped, didn't you? I said, yeah. I said, but, you know, no worries. I'm going to restart everything. I said, I apologize. I got caught up in the moment, you know, talking, and it just completely slipped my mind. Human error, people.
Right.
Jesus. But social media is ripping me apart like I'm this disgusting, like, unprofessional, unsanitary chef, and I'm like, I'm only human, right. And you try to cook in front of 15 people, like, at a table, and
15 chefs.
Right, and right. I'm pissed off because the way that they edited, it's like, if he didn't catch it, I would have served these people my saliva.
Interesting.
Get real, America. I'm not that person.
So, bottom line is, you noticed that it happened, you caught it, you were getting ready to start over, and he makes that comment, and they just kind of put it on the other side of things. As
correct.
If he caught
it. It would be like if, you know, you caught it, and you're just like, oh my God, you doubled it.
Yeah, and you're like, oh my gosh, and I didn't notice, and then you, okay, got it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, magic of editing.
That's right.
Letting me clarify that. It makes me feel better.
Right. That's what we're here for.
That's the frustrating thing. I'm sure being a contestant that is when you see the reality kind of warped and manipulated.
Right.
That's just so frustrating when you feel like that's what the viewing public is going to see, and they will think that is the true representation of those events.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Oh, and let me tell you, social media has been very cruel to me, like, the last couple weeks. And
really?
I was like, this is why people commit suicide. I'm like, holy God. I stay up the fan sites. I mean, people who are Team Heather, I love and appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
Do not get me wrong. Anybody who has my back, thank you. I appreciate it. But other people are just so disgusting. I mean, Ryan, I'm sorry, has defended me several times.
Mm-hmm.
We've all kind of defended each other, but these people think they know our lives just based off of a reality TV show.
Right. Yeah, it happens.
And then they bring my kid into it. And I'm just like, first of all, he was three at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very good mother. I don't swear like a sailor in front of my kid.
Mm-hmm.
Get over it.
Sound a little mad there.
Heather, I just want to thank
you.
Yeah, absolutely.
For one second, before you do the competition, you get to shop at Whole Foods to buy your ingredients for that and conceive your dish. They give you 15 minutes. I always wonder about that on those competition shows. Is when you get like 15 minutes or 20 minutes in a grocery store, is that enough
minutes.
Time? Are you sweating it the entire time? Or is it like, that's a cakewalk. I got plenty of time to spare.
No. Oh, my God. I kept looking at the clock. I kept counting my money. And literally, you're trying to add everything in your head. You don't have a pen. You don't have paper. So you're trying to buy ingredients, and you can't go over the 250 that they gave you.
Right.
I'm like, how the hell do I buy enough shrimp, enough lobster, enough clams, mussels? I'm like, of course I picked the most expensive dish to try to spend $250 on.
So are you just the checkout then having to just like take stuff out as they're telling you, oh, you're 280, you're 260, and you're just taking stuff away?
Actually, I made it with like $15 to spare.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
Right.
Made it. And it seemed like, I mean, what you put together was really good. I mean, I had never, it seemed like it was very well-conceived dish. Obviously, you know, seafood, you know, like you said, high-end, expensive ingredients. So I'm sure that, you know, the chefs enjoyed it. However, when it came down to the winner of the challenge, you know, it was overwhelmingly on Ryan's side. Did you?
Right. I think it was those tequila shots.
Was it the tequila shots? Because I was going to ask you, because I was like, she really was pushing that. I don't know if that was editing, but it seemed like every time when they did the rotation, like, want some tequila? I got some tequila.
I think that was just Ryan's way to kind of break the ice, because you can see she was very nervous and kind of uncomfortable. So I think that was just her way to kind of, you know, break the ice with everybody and actually just, okay,
breathe a little
bit. Do this, cook some food, and I've never seen Rice Krispie, Rice Krispie cereal used the way she did, so I'm like, all right, maybe that's why she did it, not the tequila.
Right. Maybe it's the Rice Krispie.
That's right.
That works sometimes. It's not Crackle Pop. It helps you win. Just say it.
Exactly.
Because I know it says when Chef Ramsay announces the reward for Ryan, but she gets a helicopter ride, and then they cut to you, and you're like, ah, who cares? I don't care about this helicopter ride. I don't need that. That's a lame reward. And then Chef Ramsay says, oh, and guess what? Then you get to have dinner with me. At that moment, did you oh, all right, maybe I take that statement back. This would be a cool reward.
Man, I could pass on the helicopter ride, but a whole lunch with, you know, Gordon Ramsay, and to be able to actually have one-on-one time, we got to talk to him, but not as much until it kind of gets down to me and Ryan. Then we actually get to spend one-on-one time with him, right. And, you know, he has to be probably the most genuine, heartful, like, person that I've ever met in my life besides my dad. He is just, you know, a really, really great person.
Yeah, covering the show for a while now, and it seems like everyone that I talk to that has been able to have some one-on-one time with him say the same thing.
Right.
They say how genuine he is. Yeah. How
I've never down seen somebody who, like, he knows your strength and your weakness just based off of working with you and getting to know you. And, you know, he goes to me, he said, I've never seen someone with so much, like, self-confidence. And said, let me tell you, I don't have any. To be honest with you, I said, I second guess myself all the time. I am my worst enemy. But when I, you know, got involved with the show and my mom, you know, filled out the application, I was like, I'm just going to go with it. I'm whatever my gut instinct is, I'm going. And landed me in the final two. And I said, you know what? Maybe I'm actually doing something that I'm meant to do in life.
Wow, that's really nice. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Let's get into the actual elimination challenge. So you get to take turns at the pass. And for those of us that watch the show, when you get to take turn and pass, you basically call out the tickets. And then you also do the quality control when the food comes up. You do the tasting. Right. And they always throw curveballs, which are always fun to watch as viewers. Because it's like, is she going to get it? Or are they going to get it? What's the deal? And so you...
I like the other chefs. They're acting when you bust them. I'm like, oh, sorry, chef.
All right, let me get on that right away.
And Chef Andy is funny. She kind of, like, her face gives it away because she's so serious and has just, like, straight business.
A scowl
face.
On her.
And
then when
she messes, like, she's messing up.
Yeah.
She kind of, like, that.
A little smirk or something.
Her face, and I'm like, let me find out.
I know you're messing with me, so let me just find out what it is, and then we'll be good. So, I mean, right. you with yours, I mean, I think it seemed like everyone kind of did the same. Like, I don't think anyone, it didn't seem like it, that anyone did much better than, what did you think, Frank?
Well, because I want to ask you, Heather, because when Heidi goes up first and she's there and she's calling out tickets and then they cut to you and you're like, whoa, Heidi, what's going on? Why are you being, you know, you're being so yelling so much? Is it just the nature of it?
I was like, relax, Heidi.
Yeah.
Relax.
But is that just part of it, like, being in that position, and especially your first time in a competition, you're probably going to default to being more yelly and aggressive?
Yeah, it's really intense because nobody really understands why Chef Ramsay is so intense and like screaming all the time and begging for food. And then when you actually get to work the pass and you see all the checks and you're trying to keep up with the times and you don't want people waiting a half an hour for a dish. You want to be able to give them really good food, great quality, and you want it fast. Like, you know what I mean? If I go out to eat, I don't want to wait an hour for somebody, you know, to make my food. So until you work the pass, you don't really get that kind of like, give me the food, I want it now. Mm-hmm. But when you're up there, it, you know, it's pretty intense and pretty demanding because you want to just go and do it yourself.
Right.
And that's where you need to learn your strength as like a leader. Like, no, I need to trust my brigade. I need to let them do it. And I need to, you know, just have faith in them and get everything out.
Because you see, if you're running your own brigade at some point, do you see a lot of the things that Chef Ramsay does is something you want to incorporate? Like, take him to a back room and slam in a door and yelling at him for a little bit?
In the pantry.
But see, me, like, I never realized how much of a control freak I am. Like, in the kitchen, though, at home, forget about it. I'm so disorganized and so... I have laundry in baskets. They're clean. They're folded. I just don't put them away. But in the kitchen, I'm just so anal, and I'm just very organized, and I need everything to a T. Mm-hmm. So it's like when you're at the path, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and people are messing up, you literally want to just be like, get out. I'll do it myself. I don't understand how he's never done that in all the seasons of cooking, because I'm just like, give me the food!
Did you think, I know this sometimes, and I didn't see that it happen, maybe you can shed light, but sometimes there are cases where the other, you know, contestants will try to sabotage a little bit, try to throw you off. Do you think any of that happened with you? I mean, aside from what's, you know, mandated by the sous chefs that Chef Ramsay wants them to do to throw you off, but did you think any of your fellow contestants were doing that?
I would hope not, just because we all live the same hell together.
Right.
But, you know, earlier in the season, like, I know the guys did it just to get other people off. Like,
they would earlier in the
dinner
season.
Challenges and dinner services, because they're like, oh, well, we don't want this person here. Let's, you know, lose dinner so we can get them out. But at the end of the day, like, it's still down to Gordon Ramsay whether they leave or not.
Right, right.
Because they kept using Aaron as leverage for, oh, my God, like, at least the first 5 weeks.
Yeah.
The poor kid was every time.
Every time.
I think it's a dangerous game to run, especially if Chef Ramsay's the final arbiter. I mean, you could tank it.
Exactly.
You can't be sure that the person you want to go home is going to go home.
Exactly. It could be you.
I mean, like a Pauly, how many times was he up? And, oh, my God, and he still made it. Every time.
He still made it.
I know.
Just that guy.
Now, Heather, we haven't even talked about, I mean, it's one thing, the competition itself is very intense. You're running the pass, but then you also have celebrity superstar Tara Reid sitting right there at the chef's table. That was ridiculous.
I felt like we would breathe too hard. I thought that she would just fall over.
She's little.
Tiny.
Yes, she's tiny.
Funny story. I asked Marino. I was like, what did she eat? He goes, oh, she had the Wellington. I'm like, what? Like, where'd she put it?
Where did she put it?
Yeah, and I didn't even know she made the comment she was only 90 pounds. I'm like, my thighs weigh 90 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw her not too long ago out here in Hollywood, and I was just like, I had no idea. You know, because you see them on TV, and, you know, they look how they look, and then when you see them in person, you're like, and I just, I was like, she's really small.
Yeah.
She's really small. And
they say, you know, TV adds weight, but I was like, no, not her. Not her.
Well, the guy that she was with, too, did the thing where he always has the buttons buttoned down really low on the chest. I'm like, oh, come on, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Lobby. It's like, hey.
Give us a break. Give us a break. So I just want real quick. was this whole Andrew thing, was this really like as big as it was? Because it seemed like it was really blown out of proportion. It seemed like it was just a lot to do.
Yeah. Well, see, when they flew us home from orientation, him and I exchanged numbers, and there was kind of like a pre-Hell's Kitchen relationship going on.
Before you even started taping.
Right. I mean, him and I were talking, and, you know, it was never, you know, physical, nothing like that. But we were talking. I was a single mom. He was a single dad. Well, single dad. You know, our sons are the same age. Okay. You know, we genuinely hit it off. We had a lot in common. Okay, no problem. We come out on the show. You know, you live together. And when you're not in the dorm, you know, you're in the kitchen. We spend the time apart. But then, you know, you're stuck in a house with all these people. It kind of gave us comfort in each other. And, you know, I'm like, you son of a bitch. Because they never showed me actually finding out. And it was the day before the families came out. We're out on the deck, and there was a bunch of us. And he literally kind of, like, laid half across my legs and was holding my hands. And I'm like, why? Like, what the hell? And he is like, I need to tell you something. And I'm like, here we go. Like, my entire face turns red. My ear, like, my ears, my neck, everything. And I was like, what? He goes, I'm engaged. And I was like, I'm like, I hate you. I was like, get off of me. Like, don't touch me. I flipped out. Like, I think I scared Heidi too, because I really think that she thought I was going to hit him. And they call us in for confessional. And I grab my mic. I'm like, I'm not talking to anybody. I was like, F all you, like, I don't like any of you right now. I was like, you people knew. I literally went ballistic. I was like, I'm now embarrassed on national TV. Like, my dad, my mom, like, all my family, everybody's gonna see this. I was like, you made me out to be a complete jackass. I'm like, you're a scumbag. And then, you know, then okay, hey, guess what? Family's here.
And then you gotta look at it right in the face.
So then, you know, we're standing next to each other. We kind of made the situation better, but I'm still like, you lied to me. You're a lying sack of shit. Like, I don't like you. And then his fiance comes out right before my kid, and I'm just like,
okay.
Yeah. And I mean, I genuinely feel bad for her, because I know they broke up right after the show. Because she had tried, you know, talking to me again, and I'm like, no, I'm okay. Thank you. I'm like, we live 2 hours away, but I'm good. I'll stay on my side of PA. You stay on yours. Don't.
There it is.
No, man. That's unfortunate.
I mean, I care at the end of the day, because now she has to look at it. Thinking to myself, I guarantee you, I would almost put money on it, he never told her the things that, like, went down how him and I were talking, because he'll never own it. That's the way he is. He's very immature.
Heather, you did bring up something interesting there. You said there's a Hell's Kitchen orientation, so they fly you out here to Los Angeles before you even do the competition?
Well, it's kind of like, we didn't even know we were on the show yet. So they fly out, and you have to do, like, a second interview. They explain, you know, everything that, like, all your legal stuff, and if you get picked, what can happen, and how, you know, you can't talk about anything. But we weren't supposed to talk to each other, because, you know, it's like, oh, hey, you guys are flown together, but you don't know about each other. Well, you put three people from the Philadelphia area on the same plane. Come on. We're all going to figure out each other. So me, Andrew, and Johnny all asked everybody to switch seats, so we all sat together. And I thought we were going to get banned from the flight, because we were so loud and obnoxious. Like, oh, God, we're never going to get back on airlines ever again.
That's dope. So we talked about, you know, the end and your reaction and everything. First of all, congratulations. Making the top two again. And I'm excited to see the last episode. I'm excited to see what happens. I know it's going to
be... I'm excited, too.
Yeah, I know, like, it's going to be a fight.
I really want to see how everything comes together.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Ryan is obviously a great competitor.
And I put blood, sweat, and tears into that. I mean, at one point, I cried, she cried, and it was just... if you're ever at your breaking point in life, mm-hmm. it's that. Because, you know, 5 weeks, you had no contact with, like, the outside world.
Right.
You know your family's there, but you can't talk to them. You're trying to come up with a menu. You're trying to figure out, how the hell do we pick a brigade? Like, what's going to happen? You mm-hmm. have no idea what Gordon Ramsay possibly could throw at you in the next, like, 48 hours. And it's just like, what the hell did I get myself into?
Right. I can just imagine.
Well, without certainly spoiling anything for next episode, of course, you mentioned, like, thinking of your brigade, things that start popping up in your head when you know you mm-hmm. get down to the final two. Was there anything in your head as you're thinking about your brigade, like, man, whatever happens, I definitely don't want this person from that's been on the season on my team.
Andrew.
My brigade.
I can say Andrew.
Well, yes. Yeah,
you say Andrew. No, actually, the sad part is him and Heidi were probably the top two strongest people.
Really?
So it was kind of like, whatever we had to do, Ryan and I know we have to fight for those two. And if one took one, the other was taking the other.
Oh, so you made a pact then prior to that happening?
Not a pact, but it's kind of like when we were bored, everybody mm-hmm. would always be like, okay, well, if you had Wendy, Heidi, Shayna, Matt, I'm trying to think who else was there. Oh my God. Devin, mm-hmm. Kim, kind of like, who would you pick?
Right.
So we'd all go back and forth, you know, and vice versa, but it was just like, when you get in the moment, you're just like, ah, shit, what did I say I was going to do?
Can you play that back, please?
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking because, you know, you don't know who, say if I went first, you don't know who Ryan's going to pick next, right. And you're kind of like, it's like you're playing kickball and you're trying to pick teams and you don't want, like, the weakest link on your team who can't kick or, you know, throw a ball.
And this is basically a large prize, large kickball type situation.
Yeah,
for a job worth quarter million dollars.
Exactly. Like, you know, my 3-year-old probably could do better than some of these people, but, you know.
You got to do what you got to do.
Exactly.
Well, Heather, thank you so much. What are you going
to
say for
me? Real quick, because I know last episode with the trip to Vegas with Heidi, I know that you you and Kimberly had talked about possibly, like, hey, if something happens, I'll take you. And then it goes down and you pick Heidi because you want to keep your enemies. Yes. You want to keep your enemies closer. Is that a good strategy to keep enemies close on rewards?
Since day one, Heidi and I always had called ourselves, like, the double H threat. It's kind of like we felt we were very strong competitors, that we were very strong cooks, that we were really kind of like each other's enemy. But it helped us in the long run because it was always, I want to say probably since day one, it was always like Ryan, me, Heidi, and Kimberly. As much as people want to talk shit on her, she's a very strong chef.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I've never seen a woman who doesn't really know, like, the, you know, the French terminology, and she doesn't have, like, that kind of background. But let me tell you, you show that woman one thing one time,
she's got it.
You never have to show her again. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never been able to work with somebody as well as, you know, Kim. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, like, I'd still want her on my team. Jesus. If I become, like, the EC anywhere, Yardbird, you know, anywhere, I would hire her in a heartbeat.
That's
she's awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, Heidi and I, it was kind of like I got in the Black Jacket Lounge first. Fought my ass off. My kid was probably, like, the greatest thing that ever could have happened that day. Because I was like, that is what I do everything for. He is my entire world. And, you know, I want to prove to him that don't sell yourself short. Don't ever second guess yourself. Just go with it. And Heidi was the second one in. And I'm like, well, you know, that kind of works out too because, you know, I'm the first one. She's the second one. I kicked Paulie off the throne. All right, I'll take her. And then Paulie was pissed off that I didn't take him. I'm like, well, why would I take you? Who the hell wants to spend time with you in Vegas?
No.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I'm like, I have, like, a girl day. I don't need you being, like, dead weight or trying to hit on me. I got enough bullshit with Andrew. Exactly. I don't need another one.
Right.
But I knew Paul had a girlfriend. Yeah. That was the good thing.
The good thing. You didn't know that. Well, Heather, again, thank you so much for joining us and just shedding light. Real quick, before we let you go, let the people know, the fans out there, where, like, you know, you're cooking, where they could come see your restaurant, you know, do your thing, all of that good stuff.
Sure. Right now, I'm at Marblehead Chowder House. It's in Easton, Pennsylvania. It's literally right off of Route 33. Anything seafood, they've been there for, oh god, 25 years. Mm-hmm. Same recipes. I have the same lady making my crab cakes, making my lobster bisque. She's amazing.
Oh wow.
So, if you want some like authentic seafood, fresh fish, daily, come see me.
That's awesome. What it is. And where can they find you on social media to keep up with you and all the good things that's going on?
Well, social media, I have Chef Heather. That's my page on Facebook.
Okay.
So it's at Chef Heather HK16, I believe. I'm going to have to send you all the hashtags. I'm not good with the social media. No. But I want to say Twitter is at Heather3190.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm horrible.
Well, we have it. We have it at the bottom, so they'll see that. We got you covered on that. We got you covered on that.
I'm like, hashtags, Twitters. I'm like, how the hell do I message you guys? I'm like, at, and I'm like, Ryan, help me out.
Hilarious.
And then, Instagram, it's Heather_MAEW88.
Oh, all right.
There it is.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, Heather, we're going to be tuning in this Thursday and see what happens. And, hope for the best.
Yes.
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 Yes. Team Heather.
Team Heather. All right, Heather. Thanks again. We appreciate it. We'll see you later.
Thanks. Bye. So much. Bye. Let's have a good night.
You too. Right.
So, man.
I feel terrible because she's a delightful interview, and yet I got, I'm Team Ryan, you know?
Team Ryan.
I feel bad.
You feel bad.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm glad we had her on the show.
Yes.
I'm glad she shed some light, especially about the whole Andrew situation.
And the double dipping thing.
Because I was like, what? I just thought she was nervous. I wouldn't go out and hate on her like they did on social media. That's messed up. It's a lot of pressure. And plus, these people are probably not cooks or chefs at all.
Yeah.
They're just hating. But I'm glad she did explain that. And, you know, editing is never your friend when it comes to these shows. But we'll have to see what goes on. You say Ryan.
I've been on Ryan the whole season. You know, there's still room on this bandwagon. Now you've been holding on tight. Are you jumping now? Are you jumping off the bandwagon?
There's no bandwagon. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, it could be Ryan, but I will say after interviewing Heather, I feel she could also take it. I mean, she was the first one picked.
That's true.
So, and that said a lot because I was surprised. I thought it was going to be between her and Heidi, and Ryan was going to be first pick. So the fact she was first picked, I was like, interesting. But, you know, we'll see.
No.
We'll see.
All right. You're not making a pick, huh?
No, I'm not.
Wow. All right. You know,
I like the vote. I want the best person to win.
What? Get out of here. Heather, I love talking to you. Heather, you were great. But I'm sticking true. I got to stick with my guns. I have a Chef Ryan.
We stick with Ryan. You stick with Ryan. It's all good.
There you go.
It's all good. But I'm excited because we may have another guest. And we also might have our panelists back, Miss Robin McSweeney.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. For
Say
the finale.
So.
So the finale. So but you got to stay tuned in.
That's right.
So join us next week. That's been our show. We want to thank you so much for being with us. We want to thank Heather for joining us on Skype, shedding that light, letting us know what's really going on with her. Much respect to her and excited to see about the finale. I've been your host, Lynn Gonzalez. You can find me always at The Poet Saint all day, every day. Frank Moran, where are you at, sir?
You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie and feel free to hit myself up or Lem and talk about how much of a quitter Lem is for not being able to make a choice. Way to just, just hang on the edge. I'm not going to make a choice. I just want the best person to win. I just equivocate. Lem Gonzalez, the great equivocator.
That's right. That's what I do. Until next week, we'll see.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Make a choice, Lem.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.